Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. I read somewhere that many people are like wheelbarrows, not good unless pushed. Some are like footballs, you can't tell where they'll bounce next. Some are like trailers, they have to be pulled. But some are like a good watch, open face, pure gold, quietly busy, and full of good works. I don't know how true all of that is, but I do know there are some people, some Christians, that are quietly busy and full of good works. Now we know from the Bible that we're not saved by good works, but we also know that we are saved unto good works. Good works should be a definite result of salvation. On this broadcast of the Emmaus Bible Hour, we are discussing good works and the Christian. We're studying together the course Guide to Christian Growth. This is Lesson 4 and Page 1, and it's titled A Belief That Behaves. If you enjoy this lesson and want the entire 12-lesson course, be sure to write down our address, which will be given at the close of this 15-minute program. Also, if you have a Bible question, we encourage you to correspond with us. Now, a belief that behaves. In dealing with unbelievers, we try to make it clear that no one can be saved by good works. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And we would encourage you to look up these verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are not saved by good works, but as Christians, we must realize that we are saved unto good works. Over and over in the New Testament, we find Christ's followers exhorted to practice good works. It was a characteristic of the life of the Savior that He went about doing good. We live in an extremely selfish world, and the tendency is for people to think of themselves first and others last. But the ringing challenge of Christianity is, do good. Live for others. Spend and be spent. Every day we have numerous opportunities to show a kindness, lend a helping hand, speak a comforting word. Let us be alive to these golden avenues of service and witness for Christ. Let's talk about a few. The sick. What can be done for those who are laid aside by illness? A cheery visit, a bag of fruit, some good reading material, a chapter read from the Bible, a word of prayer. These are excellent ways to reach the unsaved and to cheer the believers. Then let's think about the aged. Older folk deeply appreciate kindnesses done for them, especially by young people. A ride in a car, an invitation to a meal, or even a greeting card on special occasions. These are practical ways of letting Christ live His life through you. Then remember the poor. A brief look through the Bible is enough to show that the poor have a very special place in God's affections. Those who minister to the poor are blessed, and those who oppress them are punished. It might only be some good used clothing, or a little gift of money, but it gains the master's well done. Many children from poor families have been won to Christ at summer Bible camps, where they are sent by kind Christian friends. Caution is required, however, to distinguish between cases of real need and those who are just professional beggars and parasites. Let your generosity be always exercised with discretion. Well, that's a start on a list of people you can help. Let's pause for some music. Why not try to think of some others that need your help? We'll continue this list after the music. To the Emmaus Bible Hour. At this time, we're studying together the correspondence course, Guide to Christian Growth. This is Lesson 4, and it's titled, A Belief That Behaves. We've been making a list of people that we can help. We've already mentioned the sick, and we've talked about helping the older people, and then the poor. Let's next consider the outcasts. In almost every community, there are those who are shunned by society because of their sinful, debauched lives. The natural thing is to avoid them, but the Christ-like thing is to seek to win them. Each one is a precious soul for whom the Redeemer died. One servant of Christ was known to have dressed up in rags and lived in the slums of a great city in order to introduce some of these derelicts to the Lord Jesus. Then have you ever thought of helping victims of calamity? Almost every community contains families visited by trouble and disaster. The Christian will seize upon such occasions to help those who've been hard hit by fire, theft, accident, or death. Finally, let's think of one's own family. In seeking to show kindness to others, one must not neglect his own home circle. We are commanded to honor our parents. There is always work to be done around the house, and we should be careful to attend to these responsibilities. It's a bad testimony to be a saint abroad and an infidel at home. 1 Timothy 5:8 is a good verse to remember in this regard. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now that puts it pretty strong. It's pretty strong language. But that's what the Bible says about our responsibility to our own home circle. That was 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. In your endeavor to have a belief that behaves, here are some practical rules. First, seek to do some kindness every day. Ask the Lord for openings and opportunities. Second, see work to be done and do it. An employer interviewing applicants for a job placed a crumpled scrap of paper on the floor where they would pass. Six walked over it. The seventh picked it up and threw it in the wastebasket. He got the job. Third, if you have an urge to do a good deed, never refuse it or smother it. Follow Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, in her advice. She said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And remember the solemn warning of James 4:17. To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That was James 4:17. Fourth, do your good deeds as quietly and secretly as possible. It is not important whether men applaud you. The great thing is to meet with His approval. Fifth, show kindnesses to others that cannot repay you. God's hand is bigger, and His rewards are greater. Sixth, show kindness to those who hate and persecute you. It was said of one great man of God, the surest way to receive a kindness from him is to show him a discourtesy. He had truly learned to follow the Savior. During the war, a buck private was treated cruelly for his public witness for Christ. One night, a sergeant threw his muddy boots at the Christian while he was praying. In the morning, the sergeant found his boots by the side of his bed, beautifully polished. It broke his heart. That very day, he was saved. Seventh, use whatever talent you have. A needle and thread, or even a pen in the hands of a devoted Christian, can do great things for God. There is something that each one of us can do. Eighth, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Use every occasion as an opportunity to say a word for your Master. Nothing done for others will fail to receive its reward, if not in this life, certainly at the judgment seat of Christ. Not only will it be repaid, but the reward will always be out of proportion to the service. A boy in New York once found a purse containing $500. He debated within himself whether he should return it or keep it. Finally, his decision was made. He walked up to the door of a stately mansion, rang the bell, and handed back the purse to the grateful owner. Can you imagine the lad's joyful surprise when he was rewarded with not $10, not $100, not $500, but with $1,000? He never regretted his decision. Neither will you if you give yourself to good works. Live for others. While here you dwell, live for others, the good news tell. If your life is wasted, great will be your shame. Live for others in Jesus' name. And thus we close our study of Lesson 4 in the course Guide to Christian Growth. We'd like to send you this entire course in book form. Stay tuned for our address. For those of you who have the course and are studying along with us, it's time to do exam number 2 and mail it to us for grading. Remember to all of you, if you have questions, please send them to us. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.